Violet. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24. Tonight, we want to look at the regathering of Israel. So let's look in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to open the word together, to meditate upon it, and Lord, to consider your plan for the future, and in particular, your plan for the nation of Israel. So God, we just pray and ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and guide now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been studying what is often referred to as the Olivet Discourse because it's a teaching from the Lord Jesus on the side of the Mount of Olives. And his teaching really consisted in his answer to two questions by his disciples. The first question was, when shall these things be? And that was with respect to the destruction of the temple that they were looking at in Jerusalem. They could see it from the side of the Mount of Olives. When shall that be? And we know in history that was 70 AD when the temple was destroyed by the Roman armies. And then the second question was, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So then they were asking for, what are the signs? What indications will there be? How will we know what it's like at the end of the age? And to this, the Lord began describing the events in the tribulation period, and in particular, the second half of the tribulation period. And last week, we looked in verses 29 and 30, and we considered the sign, the ultimate sign, is that appearance of Christ, that Shekinah glory manifested in a time when there is total darkness in the world, when the sun no longer gives her light, nor the moon, nor the stars, when the heavens are shaken and there is total blackness, instantly there will be that sign of light, the dazzling glory of the presence of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And every eye shall see him. And now tonight we want to look at what Jesus says will accompany his second coming. When he returns to the earth, he tells us in verse 31, and when Christ returns in power and great glory, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. And that's what we want to look at tonight, the regathering of the nation of Israel in conjunction with the second coming of Christ. So let's look at what the Lord Jesus actually said in this passage. First, we see that the Lord is going to send his angels when he returns to the Mount of Olives, by the way, and it cleaves in two. The geography of Jerusalem and the surrounding area is vastly changed by his second coming. And here we see that the Lord is going to send forth his angels to serve him. And they're going to serve him by gathering together his elect. Now keep in mind that the elect, from the perspective of the Gospels, refers to the nation of Israel. The angels were called and they're going to be beckoned with the sound of the great sound of a trumpet. Now, we know that there's a trumpet associated with the rapture, but this is not the rapture. The rapture was still a mystery at this point. The disciples had no idea about the rapture of the church. In fact, they had no concept of the church at all. All they knew was they had been preaching that the kingdom is at hand at any time now, and now the Lord Jesus is saying, wait a minute, since I have been rejected and I'm about to go to the cross, the kingdom is going to be postponed for an indeterminate amount of time. And so here the Lord Jesus sends, in some way, he sends his angelic beings out to regather the elect, the nation of Israel, which had been scattered all around the world. And so let's be sure that we understand that the elect here does refer to Israel. It's not the church, it's not the rapture, this is the second coming, and his second coming is for the nation of Israel. And at the second coming, his feet touch down on the Mount of Olives. At the rapture, the Lord appears in the sky, and we're caught up to be with him. So two totally different time frames. And the church does not go through the tribulation period. And yes, it's true that the church is, that we're also God's chosen people. The church is elect. But that was not what the Lord had in mind as he taught his disciples here. And we should keep in mind that even today, the church is still an elect nation. The fact that they rejected their Messiah does not mean that God rejected them. And this is a truth I want to hammer away at tonight with respect to the regathering of Israel. It is vital eschatologically, or as we look at things to come in the future. So here we want to see that Israel will always be God's chosen nation. And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses said, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth." So of all the nations, God chose only one. He chose Israel. And we see also in Isaiah chapter 45, here Isaiah writes, "For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have called thee by my name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." So notice this here, even in a time when Israel did not have a relationship to God, they didn't know him, there was no fellowship there, God says, "You're still mine elect." This was a promise that God made to that nation. And why is it important? Well, our Reformed brethren, our amillennial friends, argue that since Jesus was crucified and rejected by the Jewish people, that all of God's promises are no longer valid. That God has sort of washed his hands of any responsibility that he had to the nation of Israel, and they are no longer God's elect people. And what our amillennial friends and our Reformed friends are saying today is that Israel's election has been replaced by the church. And that's called replacement theology. So when Israel had a promise that God was going to establish them in the land of Israel and establish his kingdom, when they rejected the Messiah, God said, "I'm done with you. I take back my promise, and I'm going to replace you, Israel, with the church." And that's called replacement theology. Now, it is true that the nation of Israel has been under divine chastening for many centuries, ever since the Babylonian invasion of Israel. The times of the Gentiles began. And so Israel has been under the foot, so to speak, of the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. And so they're being chastened even until today. So the nation of Israel that's in the land, and part of their land today, they don't possess all of it, but that nation, even though the nation is elect, That nation that's in Israel today is under divine chastening, and they don't even possess all of Jerusalem today. Now, look what Peter said in his sermon in Acts chapter 3 in verse 25. Here he is after the cross, after the resurrection on the day of Pentecost. Peter is preaching to his own people, to the Jews, and he says, ye are, and notice the tense of that verb, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Notice that after the rejection, after Israel rejected her Messiah, after his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension into heaven, after all of that, Peter looked at the Israelites in that first century and he said, you still are the children of the covenant. God didn't say, I'm done with you. That covenant is no longer in existence. He says, you are the children of the covenant. He didn't say you were. And look what Paul writes in Romans chapter 11. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching election, they are beloved of the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Okay, let me see here. We've got two. I read the wrong verse. We're going to get to that one there. They're both great verses. They're both inspired, and they're both relevant. But let's go back to Romans chapter 11. Sorry about that. Verses 1 and first part of verse 2. I say then, hath God cast away his people? And what's his answer? Is he done with Israel now that they rejected him, Messiah? Paul's answer is, God forbid, may it never be. And what's Paul's proof? For I'm a Jew, I'm an Israelite. Of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. So even though the Israelites rejected their Messiah, God was not done with Jewish people. Even during the church age, Jewish people can be saved. They can be born again. And God has not cast them away because he has made unconditional promises with them. And now let's go to the same chapter, just down to verse 28. As concerning the gospel right now, they, Israel, are enemies for your sake. They're enemies of the gospel. They're not on God's side today. They've rejected Christ. But as touching the election, which is unchangeable, they are still beloved for the Father's sake. So think of that. They've been under chastening for 2,500 years. God has been chastening that nation. They have had a very difficult go of things in the last 2,500 years as well. And all throughout the church age, they have been opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they still are. But notice, but it's touching the election, God's choice of that nation, is still valid today. And he says, the calling of God, when God called Israel to be a nation, God's callings are without repentance. And what does that mean? It means that when God chose them, when God called them to himself, God doesn't change his mind. Unconditional promises and covenants are just that, unconditional. They're not conditioned on Israel's behavior. Yes, Israel's behavior was reprehensible. They rejected their Messiah. They chanted, let him be crucified. But God's love is deeper than their sin. And they still are God's elect to today, even though they are presently being chastened. Just like if you have a son, he might need to be chastened, but even while he's up in his room being punished, he's still your son, and you still love him. And that's God's heart relationship to Israel today. And nothing will change his mind. Now notice in verse 31, the passage that we're looking at tonight, here we see that the elect are gathered from the four winds of heaven, from one end of heaven to the other. And that's how this regathering is going to take place in a similar fashion. And Reynolds Shawas suggested three reasons why this description indicates to us that Israel is God's elect and he is still going to regather the nation of Israel. And the first reason is God's judgment for Israel was that they would be scattered to the winds. And let's look at some passages that speak of that. The whole remnant of thee will I scatter to all the winds, all four corners. And they often speak about the four corners of the earth. The Bible writers didn't mean the earth was square. It's just the four corners of a compass, the four directions of a compass. And so the judgment was that Israel was going to be scattered into all the winds. And God's judgment would scatter the nation of Israel in every possible direction all around the world. And the point is that since Israel was scattered to the four winds, therefore the regathering is going to be from all the winds as well. All four directions on the compass, north, south, east, and west. And that's what Jesus said would happen in verse 31, that he would gather his elect from the four winds, the northern winds, the southern, east, and west. That's where they were scattered, that's where they remain, and that's where they're going to be regathered from one day. And so that's a promise. Secondly, Jesus also said that they would be regathered from one end of heaven unto the other. From one end of heaven unto the other. And when Jesus used this language, he was using the language of the Palestinian covenant that Moses recorded for us way back in the book of Deuteronomy. And let's look at that in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and beginning in verse 4. Now, wait a minute. Before we look into verse chapter 30, do you remember what happened in Deuteronomy chapter 28? If you obey me, I'll bless you. And he lists all kinds of blessings. But if you disobey me, Israel would be judged. They would become poor. They would not be the head of the nations. They would be at the bottom of the nations. They would be scattered into foreign lands. They would be dominated by other people, and other people would take over their land. That's what Israel is experiencing today. And so Moses says in chapter 30, after he had already said, if you disobey this law, and Israel did, here's what will happen to you. But verse chapter 30 and verse 4, if any of thine be driven out into the uttermost parts of heaven, that's where they would be driven out if they disobeyed the law. From thence, from there, from the uttermost parts of heaven, will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. He's going to bring you back from where he scattered you. In verse 5, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. The same land, the same people, into the same land. The Lord thy God will bring thee, Israel, into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. So the warning was, if you disobey the law of Moses, which Israel did, the ultimate disobedience was they rejected their Messiah, and they were punished. And they're still being punished today. But God promised them that one day they would be regathered to their land. And look at what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 43. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, one point of the compass, and gather thee from the west, another point of the compass, and say to the north, give up, let my people go. And to the south, keep not back, bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. This is the exact language that Jesus was using in Matthew chapter 24, the language of the Palestinian covenant. The punishment was, the judgment was, that God was going to scatter them to the four points of the compass, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And Jesus said, I'm going to gather you from the four winds. There's a time when you're going to come back from the uttermost parts of the world. And also, Jesus said that his elect would be gathered with the sound of a great trumpet. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 31, the sound of a great trumpet, or the great sound of a trumpet. Now, there are a lot of trumpets in the Bible, but there aren't a lot of passages. In fact, there's only one where the trumpet is referred to as great. And let's look in Isaiah chapter 27. In Isaiah chapter 27, Isaiah says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. And what will happen? And they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord where? In the holy mount at Jerusalem. So all these outcasts that had been in foreign nations scattered there for centuries, they're going to come back. And they're going to worship God in the holy mount in Jerusalem. And what's going to gather them? The sound of a great trumpet. And that's exactly what Jesus said. When he returns, he's going to gather his elect from the four winds, and he's going to send his angels out with a great sound of a trumpet. So the elect that are gathered back to the land in all of these prophecies are the same people that were scattered because of their sin. Do you see the connection there between the scattering and the regathering? They were scattered to the four corners of the earth. They're going to be regathered from the four corners of the earth. They were chased out of the land of Israel, the seed of Abraham, and the seed of Abraham is going to be regathered back to the land of their forefathers. And that's exactly what Moses said in the Palestinian covenant. So the details of what Moses wrote are exactly the same as what Jesus said would happen at his second coming. And they all refer to Israel. So when Jesus spoke about the regathering of Israel, this was nothing new. Anybody that had a passing understanding of the Old Testament understood that God always promised that if Israel got chased out of their land, if they ever repented, he would bring them back. And that was a wonderful hope that Israel had all through those thousands of years when they were scattered. And so we see in Matthew chapter 24 that God is going to use angels to do that. Now, there may be others. Jesus has a very narrow scope in his Olivet Discourse. He's talking to his Jewish disciples about the temple in Jerusalem and about why the kingdom is going to be postponed. So it's very Jewish here. But when we get to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to see that others are going to be regathered around this time. We don't know the exact time frame, but before the kingdom is actually established. And we'll see in Matthew chapter 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. That's just what we read in Matthew 24. Christ returns in power and great glory. In Matthew 25, in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, and by the way, will be with him too, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. So the nation of Israel is going to be regathered, his elect people, but also all the other nations are going to be gathered to him. And this all takes place when Christ returns in glory. And the nations are gathered for the judgment we'll be looking at in chapter 25 when the Lord judges them and he separates the unbelieving goats from the believing sheep. And one is taken away and cast into hell, and the other, because they're saved and born again, they're able to enter into the kingdom. So the gathering is going to include the children of Israel. There are also Gentiles that are going to be regathered. But guess who else is going to come on the scene sometime around this same time frame? Look in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So here the Lord says that here the east-west, these directions are seen with respect to Jerusalem, where the kingdom is established. And these who come from the east and the west refer to Gentiles. Believing Gentiles are going to enter into the kingdom, and who will be there? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs. And if they're there, presumably all the Old Testament saints, because the resurrection of Old Testament saints is in conjunction with the second coming of Christ. The resurrection of church-age saints is in conjunction with the rapture of the church. So we want to keep these two comings of the Lord separate and the two resurrections separate. So at his second coming, Jesus comes for Israel. He's a deliverer that comes for Zion. And he rescues Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. And then he gathers all the Jews from all over the world, and they're all somehow brought back to Israel. So many Gentiles will be gathered together, and also Old Testament saints in their glorified bodies. They will be in a similar fashion to us. We'll be in the kingdom as well in our glorified bodies. And so these Gentiles that enter in and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom are Gentiles who survived the tribulation period. They endured unto the end, and therefore they were delivered, and they were able to enter into the kingdom. So all of this, there's going to be a great regathering at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what Jesus meant in verse 31 when he said that in conjunction with his second coming in power and great glory, not the rapture, not for the church, but for Israel, there will be a great sound of a trumpet, and there's going to be the gathering together of his elect people, Israel, from the four winds of heaven. Jesus didn't make this up at that time. And this is, I know it might not seem all that significant to us. Okay, Israel's going to be regathered to their land someday. And I suppose it's significant if you're a Jew, but it's significant to us as well. And if for no other reason, it should be significant to us for the sheer volume of information in the Old Testament about this theme. And so I'd like to look at a few passages from the Old Testament that speak about this. Now, we looked, there are many passages that speak about the regathering. We looked at Deuteronomy chapter 30, but for a different reason. But let's just look at that passage a little more closely. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and this time in verses 1 and 2. I'm sure we're on the same page here. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. So see what he's saying here. If it ever comes to pass, Israel, that you are driven away to the four corners of the earth, and you recall that the Lord did this in verse 2, if you call to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, if you repent, if you get right with God, you return to the Lord, you ask the Lord for forgiveness, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So no matter how long Israel is under God's chastening, 2,500 years now plus, when they repent, God is instantly ready to forgive them and to regather them to the land. That's the promise of the Palestinian covenant. And then Moses goes on in verse 3. That, So if Israel, if they're scattered and they return to the Lord and they repent and they want to walk with God again, that then the Lord thy God will turn your captivity. He'll turn it all around. They were scattered. They're not going to be scattered anymore. He's going to change that. And he'll have compassion on thee. And now what's the subject here? The Lord. And he will return. If you repent and turn to the Lord, then God will turn your captivity around and God will return. The Messiah that you crucified will come back and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven to the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence he will fetch thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. A promise to the seed of Abraham that they will one day possess that very same land that God promised to Abraham. And this promise was made to Israel before they were scattered. But let's look at what some of the other prophets said. It wasn't just Moses. It wasn't just in conjunction with the Palestinian covenant. Here we have from the prophet Isaiah. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Wherever they are, God will recover the remnant of his people, his chosen elect people. He's going to bring them back one day. Isaiah promised that. Isaiah also said, and he shall set up an ensign or a sign for the nations and shall assemble all the outcasts of Israel. He's going to have an assembly of them and he's going to gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Jesus said, I'll gather you back from the four corners of the earth. And that's exactly what Isaiah predicted Messiah would do. They're going to be regathered. They're going to be assembled again together. Isaiah went on to say, and ye shall be gathered one by one. Every last one of them is going to be gathered. God knows where every one of them are. And he's going to be, and they can be assured that every last one of them will be regathered to the land. Isaiah said in chapter 43, I will bring thee seed from the east, thy seed, meaning the Israelites, from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. They're my people, and they're coming back as soon as they repent. And by the way, if we fall into sin, God is just as eager for us to repent and get right with him. And he's just as eager to restore us to fellowship. This is the nature of God's heart. Also in Isaiah chapter 60. Who are these that... Now look at that word fly. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as doves to their windows? This is saying, speaking about the regathering in a little more poetic language. Surely the isles shall wait for thee, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he shall be glorified in thee. So there is going to be a regathering, and the regathering seems to imply that some will fly back, and some will come back in the ships of Tarshish. And so one way or another, whether supernaturally, whether by airplanes and ships and boats, the Jews are going to come back from wherever they're scattered, and they're going to come back with all the silver and gold that they've accumulated, and they're going to bring it to the Lord in the temple. Jeremiah said, and it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them. So God has gone away, and he's going to return. and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. So here Jeremiah, and by the way, when did Jeremiah live? In the time when Israel was going to be demolished, destroyed. Jerusalem will be destroyed. Their temple will be destroyed. And Jeremiah and Ezekiel were prophets that prophesied to the people of Israel and Judah in those days. And God used Jeremiah to preach a very unpopular message, and his message was, the Babylonians are coming, they're going to defeat us, accept this as the chastening of God, and be taken away as captives. That's not what Israel wanted to hear. But at that very time that God was promising them a deep, long extended period of judgment and chastisement and captivity, he is also telling them through all the prophets, I'm coming again. He says, I will return and have compassion on you and will bring you again into your land. Jeremiah said that. Jeremiah in chapter 16, he says, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that broughteth up the children out of the land of Egypt. That's what Israel used to say when they were delivered out of bondage in Egypt. That was their great deliverance, out of bondage and Gentile to a Gentile power and brought into the promised land. And that was a wonderful period in Israel's history. Jews have always gloried in that. But there's coming a time when that's going to be put aside, and that's ancient history and something even more spectacular. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of the north, Russia, and all those nations north of Israel. The Lord that brought the children of Israel from the land of the north, Iran and Russia, and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. So the land in the Middle East, Israel owns a small sliver of what God has promised them. And when the Lord returns, he's going to bless them with all the land that he promised to their fathers. Jeremiah also said, behold, I will send many fishers. So he speaks about he's going to send out fishermen to go fishing the Jews wherever they might be. And they shall fish them. And I will send for many hunters, and they shall be hunting for them. In every mountain, in every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. Remember, we studied earlier when Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation, run into the wilderness, just run for your life, get out of the city. And there are many caves in the mountainous areas there, and rocks, and hiding places, holes in the rocks and in the mountains. And at the second coming, Jesus said, I'm going to send hunters out there and will hunt everyone. If you're hidden in a rock somewhere, the Lord will find them and bring them back. Amazing. And he said in chapter 24, I will set mine eyes upon them for good and will bring them again to this land and will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. So at this regathering of Israel, Israel will be brought into their land and they will never, ever be taken out. This is for good. Jeremiah also said, therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar and thy seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. That's how Israel has existed for the last 2,500 years. They've been without rest. They've had no quiet, no peace, living in fear of bombs and invasions every day. But that will all come to an end. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee. They're God's people. He will keep his promise to them. And then he says, Jeremiah in chapter 31, behold, I will bring them from the north country, gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame and the woman with child. Remember, Jesus said, Hopefully you won't be a pregnant woman having to flee into the wilderness. Well, if there are some, the Lord will find them and bring them back. And the woman that with child and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. So the Lord is going to protect those Jews that flee for their lives and regather them to the land. Now, Ezekiel, also living at the time when the Babylonian invasion, God was assuring the people or reassuring them that even though they're going to be scattered and it's going to be a long time, they will be returning to the land. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. In other words, I'm going to keep my promise. And I will bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries where you're scattered with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And there I will plead with you face to face. And we'll look at that when we see chapter 25 as well. But again, bringing them out from where they've been scattered. Ezekiel goes on to say in chapter 20, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted up my hand to give it to your fathers. I promised it to your fathers, and you're going to inherit it. And they shall know that I am the Lord thy God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Every last one will be regathered to the land. And then Hosea said, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Israel and Judah gathered together. Joel also mentioned it. For behold, in those days, in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Amos predicted the same thing. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them in their land, and they shall no more be plucked up out of the land which I have given them, saith the Lord. In Micah, he also says the same. In that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. This nation that has suffered for so many centuries, that has been driven out of their land, has been tortured, and the Egyptians tried to wipe them out, the Babylonians tried to destroy them, Haman tried to commit genocide against them, Hitler tried, and all of the sufferings of these people and all that they've afflicted, I'm going to gather them, and I'm going to keep my promise to them. And we might as well include Zephaniah. And at that time, I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before their eyes, saith the Lord. When their Israel is brought back, he's going to make them the head of all nations. And so everybody will see what God has done, how faithful he was to his promises to this people. And then Zechariah, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country, from the west, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. And again, I will bring them again out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and bring them into the land of Gilead in Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. So that's a lot of verses. I know you're not going to remember all those verses, but I am hoping that everybody here will remember. Remember the time Pastor gave us that very long list of Bible verses about the regathering of Israel? I hope we all at least remember how many of the prophets spoke of that. Moses and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Micah. and Zephaniah and Zechariah and Amos, and the list goes on. It's all through the Old Testament. So why should we care about that long list of verses? Well, because if Israel is not regathered to the land, then the Palestinian covenant will be violated, and God will be proven to be a liar. And if God does not bring Israel back into the land, then there's no way that God can keep his promise in the Davidic covenant. He promised that one of David's seed would sit upon the throne in Jerusalem and reign forever and ever. If Israel doesn't get the land back, that can never happen. And if there's no regathering of the children of Israel, then these prophecies of Jesus in Matthew 24, as well as his parables that looked ahead to the angels regathering the elect, then we can't trust the words of the Lord Jesus either. And think about all the prophets and all of those prophecies. And they weren't ambiguous. They weren't hard to understand. They were clear that God is going to regather his people. He said it in so many different ways in all the different prophets. If this doesn't happen, then what can we say about the word of all of those prophets? They were kidding. They were lying. The scriptures are not reliable. Or God isn't trustworthy. And if God didn't keep the unconditional promises that he made in the Old Testament, why should you and I ever think that he's going to keep his promises to us? All we have to do is mess up and God can get rid of us as well. If that's how God thinks and behaves. But it's not. The promises, the calling of God are without repentance. When God calls us, when God makes an unconditional promise, he never changes his mind. And also, if the regathering is true, then half of Christendom is wrong when they're telling us that we're living in the kingdom today. The kingdom now theology, the replacement theology, is dead wrong. The kingdom is not a spiritual kingdom in our heart. Yes, there are a couple of passages. We've looked at them in quite some detail. They are worded very questionably in our English Bible, where the kingdom is in you. It really meant in your midst. Jesus was standing in the middle of those men, but it's not a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom that has a literal seed of Abraham that will inherit blessings. And it's a literal land. There really is a nation of Israel. And God is going to keep all of his words. And so a lot hangs on whether the land really belongs to Israel and whether they will ever possess it, all of the land that God gave to them. An awful lot hangs on that. During that kingdom period, God is going to keep all of his promises. And we'll be there, we'll participate. So, yes, there are a lot of passages that speak about this. And I hope none of us think that because Israel sinned, that God says, okay, I'm going to renege on my promises. He never does that. And we can thank God that he is faithful to his word, because that assures us that he'll be faithful to us as well. Even in a simple promise like, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for these many passages that predicted, prophesied, and repeated a theme that goes throughout all of most of the prophets, that you have promised a great future for the nation of Israel, and that you will keep your word to them. And Father, help us to trust you. Father, help us to trust you as we consider your promises to us today. May we be reminded from this how faithful you are. Whether it takes 2,500 years to fulfill your word will be fulfilled. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.